I've done it! This show is part of the Kobold Broadcast Network!
Bloody kobolds! This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbncom.com.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 26. I am your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. The Tome is a D&D news and review podcast, and in this episode, we will be sorting out the puzzle of the 4th edition announcement. Welcome again to episode 26 of The Tome, 4th edition announcement. In this, the first news-only episode of The Tome, we are going to be talking about 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons. In case you've been disconnected from the D&D world for the last several days, 4th edition was announced during the first day of Gen Con this year. My goal is to get this episode out to you before the convention is even over. I have reports from people that were there, some audio from the actual announcement, and I'll share what I've learned from some various sources. All in all, I have to start off by saying I am extremely thankful to the guys over at Fistful of Comics and Games. They have been my primary source of information and audio from Gen Con. Without such a great partner podcast like them, I would not be able to give you this episode. Lastly, I will be splitting this event into at least 2 episodes, if not more. I am going to continue getting things from the great guys over at Fistful of Comics and Games as they attend panels and events. Plus, they have an interview with Bill Slavisek and Chris Perkins from the Wizards of the Coast Research and Development team, who are basically sort of heading up this 4th edition announcement. And I'll bring you that interview in a later episode. Once again, thanks to the Fistful of Comics and Games guys. Let's start off by playing a bit of the audio from the announcement. I'm going to edit out some of the less relevant bits and some of the bits that may be difficult to hear, but I think I can afford to do that because if you want to hear the whole thing, I'm going to give you links where you can go to the YouTube videos from the actual event. They recorded the whole event and put it all up on YouTube in 4 different parts, and so I'll provide you the links to that. And using that, you could get the whole thing with the video and all the examples and images that they provide.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the finale of the 4th edition of Dungeons & Dragons, a role-playing game. I'm Bill Slavisek. I'm the director of R&D for the Dungeons & Dragons miniatures and book publishing at Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah!
And I'm Chris Perkins, your dungeon master for this evening. It's a great privilege to be here with you this evening to share this excitement with people who love games as much as we do. How many of you knew this was coming before you landed in Indianapolis? Wizards of the Coast is going to deliver the best D&D game experience you've ever seen. Tonight, we are going to tell you when it's coming, what the new game is all about, why it's going to rock your world, and how you can get involved.
So the first big question, when? Mark the calendars, May 2008,
In July 2008, the new Dungeon Master's Guide.
Which means that all three core rules will be out in time for Gen Con 08.
That's correct.
But why 2008? First of all, we have taken a great game and made it a whole lot better. It is the game that we're playing in the office right now, and we cannot wait to share it. As a creative company, we want to engage you with new ideas and new products. We also felt that the time was right for D&D to take advantage of technology.
With each new contribution, the game evolves. Third edition has had millions of hours of playtesting, thanks to all of you. And we've learned things that we would do differently, we've learned ways to improve the game. We've combined all of that feedback, all of the stuff that you've told us, and we've rebuilt it to make the game better, faster, stronger.
For example, we have made a fun and meaningful thing at every level of play. We have made high-level play as playable and fun as low-level play. We have made the player game experience easier by streamlining rules mechanics in places where they needed it, by improving the overall presentation layout of our books, and with the online tools that we'll be talking about a little bit later. We have simplified stat blocks. A lot.
Yeah.
We have taken the game to the next level by not only improving the presentation, but by also eliminating the things from the game that cause your play sessions to grind to a halt.
Grapple, I'm looking at you. But what is fourth edition exactly? First off, it's an evolution in game design. It is not a new game system. It's still the D20 game system that we've all grown to know and love. It's still a tabletop role-playing game. It's still the D20 system. The new edition streamlines mechanics, speeds up play, and increases the fun. Here's some examples.
We've taken the core rules up to 30 levels, effectively including epic level play in the core system.
And not only that, we're looking to expand the sweet spot. I'm sure you each have your own opinion. We think the sweet spot is somewhere between the 7th and 14th level. We're going to make the sweet spot start at first level and go all the way up to 30.
We're making the game easier to DM, so the players have to make a huge rules expert to feel like he or she can pull off the game by giving them the tools they need, by getting rid of the things that cause DM's grief because it takes too long to do. And this is a very busy world we all live in.
We're defining the roles of the character classes. Like a sports team, you're going to know what your character, depending on what class he is supposed to do in encounters and in the game as a whole.
What?
The player is still in the corner of his team, by the way. We are introducing new power sources, which is, as you'll discover over the course of this weekend and in the discussions with us beyond, is a way to make sure that every character has tons and tons of cool things to do and variety of things to do. Much like wizards and clerics have a lot of options, so too will the other classes. You may have seen glimpses of this in such projects as the Book of Nights.
Resource management is getting a really big overhaul. We want to make sure that the stuff that causes the game to come to a halt, to stop the adventure, we're doing what we can to eliminate and give you new options. So, for example, how many people, when the cleric is out of healing stuff, says, "Come to camp"?
We are taking a look at how encounters are built and doing some different things, one of which is to create encounters that allow every character in the party to shine, combining monsters in unique ways, making sure that the system has monsters at every level that challenge the party in new and interesting ways. In addition, much like character rules are being redefined, monster rules are being redefined, so that the DM can find the right monsters for the job and pair them off together in interesting ways at all levels of play.
So, fourth edition, we're going to improve the game experience for current gamers, we're going to make the game more accessible to new players, and we're even giving our lapsed players, players we call the D&D alumni, a way to reconnect with their gaming experience and their gaming friends 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We like to think of fourth edition as having four parts. The first part is the physical product. That's the stuff that we love to do. Core rule books, adventures, supplements, dungeon tiles, miniatures, all the stuff that people don't know that we produce, that is still going to be produced in fourth edition.
The second part is organized play. It's got familiar elements and new elements. It's got living campaigns. It's got the convention play. It's got special events like D&D Game Day, which happens in the fall. On top of that, we are looking to connect players and DMs in ways that haven't been done with any edition previously. On top of all that, organized play, as it is redefined in the fourth edition, means giving you rewards for playing D&D wherever you play and whenever you play.
Third part is community. How many of you have heard about Climax? Climax.com is building a suite of social networking tools, and we're taking full advantage of those. We're going to give you ways to communicate with each other, to communicate to express yourself, to organize your characters and your campaigns, and to share your ideas and experiences in ways that have never been available to you before.
The fourth part is digital offerings, which we're calling Dungeons and Dragons Insider.
Don't break the speaker.
Yes. And what it is a collection of online tools to help DMs. It is character creation applications. It is editorial game content to enhance your gaming experience. And it's a lot more, as we'll see.
So let's take an example of that. Imagine that the Monster Manual here is the first disc in your two-disc DVD set. It's the movie. Wonderful experience in and of itself. But then we add the second disc, D&D Insider, and you get a whole additional set of things to use with that product. Things like
expanded content, not just web enhancements, but things that actually take advantage of the digital medium that you can use with the gaming product comes out. Behind the scenes ellipses of how the project came together, along with what we call designer commentaries, but essentially a chance to see what was going through the designer's heads, podcasts, other stuff like that.
And another new innovation for this edition is going to be every physical product will have a code, and you'll enter that code into your account of D&D Insider, which will unlock a virtual electronic version of the product.
So imagine a subscription-based site that offers all of these things, one of which is fantastic editorial content. We have taken Dragon Magazine and Dungeon Magazine into the online universe. We are going to fill it with more content than we could have given you in any other format, and also make it adaptable to the new experience that we're defining in fourth edition.
Every 3 days, or 3 times a week, you will get new articles that are from Dungeon Dragon Online.
And then we're going to collect it into digital issues at the end of each month.
We're also providing tools to make the DM's job easier, as we mentioned earlier. Encounter builders, dungeon builders, monster databases. And as the rules expand, these tools will be updated as well.
Let's take a look at some of the prototype material that we've put together for D&D Insider to show you tonight. These are a couple of the applications that, as a D&D Insider subscriber, you will have continual access to.
This is the D&D game table. It turns the internet into your kitchen table, so that you can play D&D whenever, with whoever you want.
Basically, you provide the characters and the story, we give you the tools to sit down and play. You'll have the ability to create your own dungeons, you can lay down your own tiles and your own configurations. We've actually built this one out so you can see what one looks like. You can drop 3D virtual minis that we will provide for you down on the table and move them around. Notice each character, you can attach a light source to them, so it's like you're walking around with a torch.
DMs built this in advance, and now the players are marching through it.
Players have full control over their own figures. DMs have control over everything on the table. In addition, everybody is linked together by a voice chat technology that is being developed.
Yes, voice chat to communicate as well as typing and text chat. Watch out for the troll.
Oh, he's trying to control that. It's holding away. We turn your characters around.
Grapple.
Here's a prototype of the dice roll.
So now,
okay. Now the ability, of course, to lay down new tiles to turn them over to reveal things like traps. As the characters move farther away, there's like dark spaces between them. We all know that's bad. Keep your characters together.
They have the ability to draw on the map as well. Add a secret door that the cleric doesn't notice. And then really poorly draw the
not everyone's tiles. That's okay. We know.
That's why I actually use the tiles.
You have the ability to call up images so that the DM can show people handouts of things inscribed on doors or notes left behind in rooms. You can zoom in, move them around.
This is not a game in and of itself. It's an application to play the game you play at your kitchen table using the internet. We give you the tools, you provide the DM, you provide the players, you provide the adventure.
What else do you think about the life? Sorry?
No questions, we're talking.
just drop them back for a second. One of the cool things about the digital environment is we can do all kinds of things with digital minis, including having floating beholders. He doesn't need to stand anymore.
This is the character creator. It comes in two parts. One part is your character sheet, so that you can create your character sheet online, making the statistical version of your character. But we also, for the first time, give you the visual version, so that you don't have to use stick figures, or cut pictures out of your books, or get your friend to draw for you. You can do it yourself. You can choose your gender, you can choose your race, height, weight, and hair, posing. It's really amazing for you.
These are fully posable figures. You can decide what hand you want your weapons in, how you want your character to hold them, and color your armor. Hey, he looks like me.
And then you can take the character that you've made, print it on your character sheet, save it as a wallpaper, or make a digital mini out of it to drop onto the D&D game table.
Here we're just playing the poses, zooming in and out, coloring boots, coloring gloves. You'll be able to, like I said, change the poses. Then you can take your character out of this environment and drop them into a scene. And for all the races, they will have different scenes that you can put them against, of course. You can also adjust the lighting and characters so that when you take a snapshot, it looks very dramatic and it looks very, very, very good.
And here we take the mini that we made digitally and drop it on the table into the dungeon. And what's a dungeon?
Now, what's missing in this dungeon? Something's missing. What could it be? Oh, I
don't know. Wait for it.
Oh, there it is. The Doom Dragon. Gave him a little bit of a face then.
Now, once your character turns and sees the dragon, you run the other way.
So there's a sneak peek at two of the applications that you will have access to.
I want to take a moment to acknowledge the people that have been working to put the fourth edition to you. Basically, my entire team is working on it. I've been working on it for more than 2 years now. Wonderful mix of industry veterans and talented newcomers. The team is led by Rob Hansu, Andy Collins, and James Wyatt, who are leading the team, and they've all been part of my team since the earliest days of third edition. We're also proud to have the D&D brand team working with us, our digital games group that's just been formed to do WeMax.com, online media, organized play, D&D art directors and graphic designers, and our freelance concept artists.
I'd also like to thank Vecna.
Let me tell you, it's easy.
We are going to be reaching out to RPGA members, as well as trial members, folks who sign up for Dungeons & Dragons Insider at the show and beyond. And like I said, it's a free preview period. Just sign up. We will be going to these folks for playtesters over the next few months, and we'll be posting information on when playtest documents are going to be disseminated on D&D Insider shortly, a couple weeks after the show.
This is an exciting time for D&D. I hope you guys feel that way. I certainly do. Keep playing your third edition campaigns. Start thinking about your first fourth edition campaigns. And keep having fun playing D&D. On behalf of Chris and everyone at Wizards, I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. Come see us at our seminars. Come see us at Booth. Sign up for that free preview of the D&D Insider. And please, no grappling or troll.
This is Ethan,
Jeremy,
and this is Nathan
from the Gamers Haven podcast, and you're listening to
The Tome.
In ancient times, that book was said to unlock the gates to another dimension, to another race of beings.
Well, that does fill a lot of gaps, but it also leaves a lot of questions. Next, let's hear what the reaction from the convention is from the awesome guys reporting for us from Fistful of Comics and Games.
Hi, this is Fistful of Comics
and Games.
And today we have an extra special report from Gen Con for the release of D&D 4.0.
It wasn't released, it was announced.
Announced. I'm sorry, excuse me.
It's going to be a heart failure.
Yeah. I got to get to the bookstore. Quick pause on the podcast. And we're going to be teaming up.
We already have it. It's so cool.
We're going to be teaming up with Benton from the Tome Show podcast, because Jeff couldn't make it.
Thanks, Benton? Yeah. My name's Arcane Geiger.
Well, today you're Benton.
Damn it.
Okay. So, we were at the press release where we were told about
stuff.
D&D 4.0, and then you guys went to the actual seminar where they talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure is on YouTube by now.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure it's on YouTube by now.
We don't talk about other podcasts or any other media.
Oh, my mistake. YouTube does not exist. It is a myth.
So, reaction.
Well, when I wasn't at the press conference.
But you have a reaction anyway.
No, I do have a reaction, because I was out milling about in the dealer's room, and I came back in, and then Working Man was at the booth talking to someone and hands me a piece of paper. I'm like, okay.
It's paper.
And I pick up a piece of paper. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I can recycle this or something. And then I'm looking at it. I'm like, D&D 4.0. And then I look up. I'm like, this is real. And I'm like, so they just announced this. I'm like waiting for everyone to get back from the press conference to make sure that this is true, and which it was. So Benton's prophecy came true.
Oh! Well, it was pretty much telegraphed.
Yeah.
Yes.
First, they announced the end of the publication of Dungeon & Dragon magazine.
Yep.
Then they began recalling all of their licenses. They were obviously putting all of this into place.
And none of their future releases are like very rules heavy. They're all like, this is how you make a good villain, this is how you make a good super villain.
And there's a rules compendium.
Yeah, these are all the rules so far, 3.5, and this is why we did this. Yeah.
So, yeah, they pretty much telegraphed it. I don't think it was.
Well, even at Gen Con last year, there was scuttlebutt that they were going to be doing this year from Gen Con.
Every single Gen Con, they had some rumor mongering.
Yeah.
Well, and as it was announced today, they've been developing this for at least a couple years.
And they freaking gloat about it. We've been playing it, and we love it.
Well, it was my reaction, this is Working Man, is that it was very much a dog and pony show. I've worked with enough folks in sales that it wasn't necessarily smoke and mirrors, but it was definitely, you know, this is going to be the coolest thing since sliced bread.
And wait, bread is sliced?
Yeah.
You can get bread sliced?
Yes, you can.
No way.
So there are some definitely very cool aspects of it. They, I believe, are looking to bring together the tabletop and the internet in one game. So it'll be interesting to see how well they can deploy this, seeing as in the DnDinsider.com, which is the website that we're supposed to find out all this information about 4th edition as it's being released, crashed on launch.
I have a question. So you pay a monthly fee and you have access to everything that's in the library?
Currently, DnDinsider.com is going to be a free preview. It's going to have online content, which is slated to be released 3 times per week. The content is designed to replace the original Dragon magazine and Dungeon magazine. At the end of each month, they'll collect those releases into a, air quotes here, issue. And those will be the issues that you would have access to. In addition to that, if you purchase a supplement or a game or a core rulebook, it will include a code which will unlock a digital version of that game or supplement material.
So if you
online.
Buy the Player's Handbook, then you get a digital copy of the Player's Handbook.
Right. Plus, it will unlock certain tools that are related to the Player's Handbook. So the idea being is that you will then be able to go online and create character sheets. And the things that they were touting were, look, you can now not only create a character sheet, but you can create exactly what your character looks like with this 3D morphing, 3D control panel that gives you a character. You can create the look of the character, male, female, any race that they have, any armament, any weapons, control what hand the weapons are in, control the pose, coloration of the skin, beard, you know, hair.
But all that's optional, though, right?
That is all part of what they're trying to do, is to create this online experience that will supplement the game table. There's actually an online game table so that at midnight you can log on and play with folks around the country or around the world.
But you have the option of staying at home or,
of course,
with your own RPG group at, quote-unquote, your area, or you can log on and play with people from around the world.
Correct. But there's nothing to say that our group is sitting around the table, yet we all have wireless laptops that we're all logged into and also interacting. So in place of a voice chat, we're sitting around the table interacting, but each player is using the computer to control their characters on a virtual table.
I don't know. From my what I saw of it, the virtual table aspect isn't... I'm not sure if that's what's intended as much as... Just you have the character sheet and all the rules put into your character right there on the laptop.
I read it as they were look if you they pres the way they started this was a kind of the evolution of D&D video, and it was done in a mockumentary style that, you know, that look how corny it was in first edition, look how corny it got in second edition. Look what happened in 3rd edition. You know, now 4th edition is cool. And in the image of 4th edition, in that shot of the table, everybody was sitting around the table. Everybody had a laptop. Displayed on the laptop was the map of the current dungeon they were all going through, with the idea being you control your character's movement and your character's actions through the laptop.
Now let's take a moment to ponder all us nerds out there being cool.
Okay.
Just think about that for a moment.
So, the table would be visible to everyone on their own computer screen.
Right.
So you'd... Okay.
I got the feeling, I would agree with both Working Man and Arcane Guyver, that it's almost... I think that it's almost like they're laying the groundwork for... In like maybe 50 years, when laptops are even cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and even like
50 years.
Well, you know, yeah. I'm ballparking.
50 years, it's
even a huge ballpark, and even like a really big ballpark. And even like a middle schooler or an elementary school kid has a laptop, and then they can just log right in and play.
Well, I agree. I agree that in the future that it can be solely online, but I think that the game, as it's going to be released, is still playable in a traditional format.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
not going to stop selling the miniatures.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop selling the dungeon tiles. It's all going to be playable at your kitchen table or your basement table. Or you can go online and do all this. It doesn't mean that the DM doesn't have to do all the work. The DM still has to do the work.
Yeah, so
create create the dungeons, whether it's a virtual dungeon or a different dungeon that you're going to play out with miniatures and tiles and so forth.
This really is just a matter of them taking, they already have the web enhancements for current releases. You buy a book and then, recently it's been like half a year later you get, so they start putting out these free web enhancements, extra stuff that hit the cutting room floor, and they couldn't put in the book. And this is like taking that to the next level.
Yeah.
They try to integrate the content, you get the content right there on the website if you bought the book, plus some extra and some tools to help use it. It's all supplementary.
It sounds like literally, the moment you upload the book, you get the web enhancements right away.
Well, and we're talking about one aspect of what 4th edition is. 4th edition is also streamlined rules. It's supposed to be
more troll hunting. SRD.
Yeah, it's supposed to be more fun.
The system reference document, which is
the core rules.
The core of the T20 system.
I'm going to hurl if you keep up.
It's the open game licensed part. Okay. Anybody can download it at any time.
Yeah, the big fear for a lot of people was that the OGL game license would go away.
And the OGL can't go away, as far as I understand.
Well, the current OGL, but they thought they just wouldn't update the OGL. It wouldn't be officially supported by the end.
Right.
Apparently it is.
But from what I've overheard, other major vendors were already aware of the potential changes because there's too many products that rely upon the D20 core rules, and they're not dumb. They're not going to exclude anybody in that respect. So that does mean that systems are going to get retooled. Systems that have deviated a lot from the SRD probably aren't going to get changed that much. But systems that rely heavily on the SRD or the D20 core rules are probably going to have to get overhauled. They talked about every player knowing what their character's role is going to be in the game. And it's things that I don't know that necessarily warranted in a 4th edition. Putting the label on it that this is a 4th edition, but it's a new reason to have to buy another rule book.
And I was wondering, with all the hype right now with Eberron, I guess in the past year or two, how they're going to integrate that into D&D version 4.0.
Yeah. Right. And
I would be curious to see that.
And they have seminars that they're going to be talking about that sort of thing.
Well, they actually got like people walking around, so I was asking about 4th edition
right.
buttons on their shirts, so might have to accost some people.
Yeah. We're going to interview now. Well, sit down and prepare yourself.
We're actually going to try to talk to the brand managers. So if we've gotten that information, we'll be uploading that as well.
You will know.
But yeah, I actually wrote down a number of the things that they were touting with 4th edition. Specifically, classes are going to go to 30 levels now.
And that's going to be part
and
of
every
the
level
rules.
Is going to be exciting.
Yeah, there are no dead levels. Apparently, every character gets something cool at every level, and they're actually making an attempt to playtest something beyond level 10. So,
is that the limit as of now? Is that go to level 10?
Initially, when 3rd edition was released, they only had time to playtest up to level 10. And anything beyond that was a crapshoot. They had no idea. They just went with what worked earlier, sort of. And
which doesn't always work later, especially if your DM is not as comfortable with the higher levels, because it does take a certain
a game changes
mentality.
Radically later on.
And as long as you can you have that mentality, you can play at the high levels, but it does take.
Apparently there's going to be a better book layout, which hopefully that means that the title, you know, the chapter title pages won't have a dark background with light text like
I always
it
hated
now,
reading the title pages. I was like, oh crap, now I have to read the title page.
They want to eliminate game halting mechanics like
grappling,
which I didn't think was that
bad. I've never had too much of a problem with grappling.
People complain about it. I don't know. Undead turning is another one that people
witch
about.
I've always had my problem with undead turning has always been that there are just so many charts to consult, and so it's like there's always that there's like at least a moment of flipping a page to you find the right chart, you double check you're doing it right because it doesn't.
I don't know.
Sometimes it doesn't come up very often.
See, they want to make it easier to DM, make it faster to prepare, and that's good for me, I guess. Not necessary, but the defined roles as working man stated, but they want that extends beyond classes to monsters. So now you've got monsters that are they already started doing that with the latest monster manuals, like they say,
villain character.
These are basically the mastermind types. You do not throw these en masse against characters. They will probably die quickly if you don't play them smartly. And you got the mooks who
everybody knows what mooks do.
Yeah, the guys who hit hard and take hits, and you got guys who sucker punches and die quick.
It's nice to have that really categorized because sometimes, especially in my experience DMing, sometimes you cannot always tell what the monster is going to do once it's actually in combat. I mean, you can look and say, this guy's got low HP, but he does lots of attack. I can kind of guess what he's going to do. But sometimes there's like something will pop up that you didn't expect, and the monster ends up doing something you didn't want it to do.
They're talking about new power sources, which my initial, I was like, oh, psionics. Psionics are going to be core. Not everyone, but a lot of people.
It sounds like they're doing a little bit of house cleaning. They're doing some tweaking. It doesn't sound like it's going to be really an overhaul, and that maybe it's not even going to be that jarring. The big thing I think that they were touting is that there's going to be new opportunities and new tools to move this into an online environment. So I guess,
but they were talking about new power sources in reference to classes. And what exactly does new power sources mean?
Well, they have to offer something new other than just
But
bringing the
new
game
power
online.
Sources is so vague.
Well,
and that's why I said it's a dog and pony show. Their whole thing is to hype it, to keep people interested, because this is not going to come out till next year. There's going to be a preview released in December, which is Classes and Races, and then there's going to be a preview released in January, which is Worlds and Monsters, and then the actual first playing of it will be presented in February at the D&D Experience in Washington, I believe. And then the core rulebook for Player's Handbook comes out
in May.
May, the following month, the Monster Manual, and then the following month, the Dungeon Master Guide, all so that you have all three books by the time you get to Gen Con in 2008. So folks that are interested should definitely check out dndinsider.com
once it's
up and running. This will be their main source for disseminating information.
Well, this is actually the first edition change I've ever gone through. Because I started, gaming with D&D 3.5. So,
Archive, would you like to share your experience of an edition change?
I barely experienced it. This is a case of Jade Monkey selling me third edition books a month before 3.5 came out. Full well knowing. Whatever.
But I mean, as far as Mutants and Masterminds, I guess I never really played that game.
Yeah, there is that. I went through a first to second edition. That was very nice. They didn't. Some things stayed the same, other things radically changed.
As often.
And it was mostly for the better. I know there was some initial griping. All this is broken, blah, 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 blah. But then as we played, it's like, well,
reads bad, plays
not
good.
Not so much, you know. It works as written, which is all too often the case.
Yep.
I'm currently thinking 4th edition, looking at it as they're going to be eliminating, cleaning up a lot of the rules that have just given me headaches over the last 3 or 4 years. 3.5 is playable. Don't get me wrong, but there are so many things that could be better.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it'll be, with 4.0, does it seem like it, from what we know about it right now, it'll be easier to get new gamers into 4.0?
Oh, I can almost guarantee you that, actually.
Well,
or gamers
said
that have been
for...
turned off back into 4.0.
That was one of the things that they said, is that what they call the lapsed gamer, people
oh, yeah.
that used to play, they're going to get them back in, and if you look at their graphics that they used and everything, the images are reminiscent, heavily reminiscent of first edition D&D.
Wow,
the idol with the burning brazier in its hands, the way Dungeons & Dragons is written, the image of the heroes fighting the dragon on the cover, it's very reminiscent of first edition. It's meant to bring folks back to the table that may have walked away from it. Having gone from first edition through second edition and third and 3.5, you know, every system cleans up the rules and makes it simpler and does this and does that. And, you know, it's just change. The change is good, change is sometimes necessary, and change is sometimes painful. Is it the end-all, be-all?
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, when we start playing 4th edition, we'll be technically...
Playtesting 5.0.
Playtesting 5th edition.
Yeah,
at
least 4.x.
No, I don't think they're going to do a 4.5.
Gotta hope not.
3.5 got too much black.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you guys will catch up with press releases as they come out and everything. So let's wrap this up and...
Stay tuned, and we'll bring out any information that we can as quickly as possible.
So this has been Fistful of Comics
and Games
and the Tome Show, and we will catch you sometime soon.
Podcasting from their secret satellite headquarters.
Dude, it's your kitchen. Three friends gather around the dais of discourse,
like at your mom's kitchen table.
Do battle boredom and bash finality.
Armed with only a fistful of comics and games.
Okay, Night Ranger, it looks like you've angered the kobold shaman, and he's about to cast a spell at you. What do you do?
Is he wearing boots?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it might cause arcane spell failure.
Okay, yes, he's wearing high, hard leather boots.
Well, in that case, I'll attack with my longsword.
Okay, roll to hit.
13.
That's a miss.
Working man?
What is it, Tangent? Can't you see that we're playing Keep on the Borderlands?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but we just got an urgent email from the Inker from Mutant Warrior Babes from the planet Zargon, and he wants to know what our podcast is all about. What do you want me to tell him?
Well, tell him that we're a roundtable discussion with a revolving cast.
Okay, I've got that. Now what?
Well, tell him that we have topics about comics, games, and other related media, like TV, movies, and novels.
Okay, I've got that.
Well, don't forget to tell him about our comics, gaming, and sci-fi convention coverage.
Well, yeah, and our interviews with game and comic creators.
Yeah, sounds like everything he needs to get his geek on.
Well, I'll just finish up by saying that you can reach us at www.fistfulofcomics.com.
That's great. Now can we get back to our game?
Well, I want to keep you.
Okay, great. All right, so he finishes casting his spell, and he fires a magic missile at you. Take 3 points of damage.
But I have boots on.
Well, that was interesting. Here are some additional bits of news that I've learned through various sources, including press releases and chats with people who were at the convention, plus things I've culled from the Wizards of the Coast message boards and website. First of all, there will be an open gaming license continuing for this new edition, which means you can continue expecting to see great material from third-party companies. I'm not sure what that's going to mean as far as the system reference document, the SRD. As I find out more about that, I will let you know. The cost I'm hearing for the D&D Insider digital subscription is about $10 a month. I'm also getting information that Dungeons & Dragons miniatures will be updated along with the new rules for the role-playing game. So be expecting to see new things coming in your D&D miniatures boxes that includes new rules for 4th edition. Levels, of course, are now up to 30. And they've split those levels into three different groups, trying to make every level just as important. The first group of 10 levels is called Heroic, the second is Paragon, and the third is being called Epic. There might be new races. Monsters also may not be listed or statted out in such a way as to make them all playable as PCs like they were in the past. Also, they're not going to give us all the information. It doesn't sound like, anyway, they're going to give us all the information that we used to have in terms of being able to create magic items. It's not going to be as quite as spelled out or specific as it used to be. And I'm not so sure what I think about that. I liked being able to have very clear and specific rules on how to create a new magic item. There seems to be more emphasis on fighters getting to do cool things as they specialize more and more with specific weapons. There will be racial abilities to be gained as you level up, making the decision for race more important. This edition has been partially tested with rules in such books as the Star Wars Saga Edition, the Book of Nine Swords, and the Races of series. Spellcasters will be able to continue doing magic all the time. You don't run out and have to stop and rest in order to be cool and do cool things. This idea seems to be tied to the Warlock class from Complete Arcane. Books that are released between now and a year from now, when the new edition is completed, will either be not rules intense, and thus still useful, or will be updated for free online, if I am getting my information correct, so you can use it with 4th edition. There will be no core setting for the new edition. The Forgotten Realms will be updated in 2008, and Eberron will be updated in 2009. Of course, I'm reporting the information that I have here, so just keep in mind that these things might change as time goes on or as they make new decisions. Obviously, things can be modified or changed right up to at any moment before the books go to print. Things I'm excited about: faster gameplay. Okay, if they can deliver on simpler, faster gameplay that doesn't require me to have to wait 20 minutes in between my actions, or it doesn't require me to put in hours and hours and hours and hours of work as a dungeon master to get everything ready to go, then the new edition will be worth it. I'm also excited about added resources by embracing new technology, so that will be really cool. Things that have me a little worried, and this list is a little bit longer, but that's because I'm getting into the specifics. First of all, they seem to be focusing on announcing and telling us about the digital end of things, but there seems to be a lot of secrecy still about the rest of the changes, which do seem to be significant. On that note, why didn't they tell us way back in 2005 when they started developing this new edition and tell us what they were doing? Do they not think that there are players are intelligent or mature enough to be able to handle the information? I think it's a little insulting. I know it's normal business and any other business would probably do the same thing, but that doesn't make it right. And I would have liked to have had them be honest and upfront with us and let us know from the beginning, hey, we've formed a group and we're working on things for a new edition. We're not looking for feedback at this point and we'll let you know more as we develop it. I think that would have been a perfectly legitimate way to go about things. I'm a little worried that the book cost will help pay for things inside the D&D Insider service. So I'm afraid that the cost of books is either going to go up or part of the cost of a book is going to help pay for this service. And so people who don't end up using the service or don't end up paying the extra monthly charge for D&D Insider are going to end up paying for something they're not using when they buy the books. I'm also a little bit worried about the big push for organized play, because non-joiners might be left out. And then lastly, why does a fighter need to specialize to be cool? There are a lot of reasons that this change sort of sucks, even if it is kind of cool at the same time. I hope there is flexibility, and I hope that it doesn't end up making leveling your character and running your character a ton more complex. But it seems at this point that that's exactly what it's going to do. If I get a nifty new ability at every level, that's going to add a lot of complexity. And that's one of the big failings of playing an epic level character at this point, is this, there's just so much going on with the character, it's hard to remember it all. Now I'm afraid that's going to happen before I ever get to level 10. Well, that's the fourth edition announcement in a nutshell. I will continue to use this monthly news segment to try to keep you informed as to what is happening with fourth edition as the months go by until its release. Plus, of course, expect more episodes from Gen Con as I get more information and audio from the awesome guys who are there. As always, I urge and welcome listeners to help the show in any way you can. One of the best ways is to participate. Sending your emails or audio comments to thetomeshow@gmail.com, or let me know if you're interested in reporting for the show regularly. You can also instant message me, join the Tome Yahoo group, leave an audio, or call the Tome hotline at 206-888-6126. That's 206-888-6126. You can also dig the show at dig.com, vote for us at Podcast Alley, or leave an iTunes review. All these things help the show get noticed, and I really appreciate that. Most of these things can also be found at the website at www.thetomeshow.com. Also, don't forget to check out the Tome's partner podcast, Fistful of Comics and Games, at www.fistfulofcomics.com, or Gamers Haven at www.canadiancrusaders.com. This has been episode 26, fourth edition announcement of
The Tome.